Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
We're back, quarter number three of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle back in the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're going to hear from James Franklin post-game against Michigan. Penn State wins 28-21. Everybody really, really excited about this atmosphere. 110,000-plus show up for the whiteout. Kirk Herbstreit gave another little soundbite that Penn State can recycle again and again and again, calling it the best student section in the country. It was a pretty electric game day atmosphere, and we didn't really get into all that because there was a lot to talk about the game itself, but this is something for Penn State where I think the coolest part of the whiteout, Greg, and we'll hear from James Franklin in a minute, the coolest part of the whiteout is that every fan in that stadium takes ownership of it. I think everybody takes an amount of pride in not just wearing white, but bringing the most electric version of themselves to these things, too. Like, everybody wants to – it's such a point of pride, and for all these reasons, I think everybody loves to hear Kirk Herbstreit talk about this game. Kirk Herbstreit loves to hear himself talk about the whiteout game. But I think that's what has made this a pretty special thing, is that fans really want it to be awesome. Not just show up wearing white, they really want it to be awesome.
Yeah.
And they really want to create a game day atmosphere, because I think they know, A, it helps the team win. B, it helps the team recruit. Like, I think one game doesn't really mean a lot in a lot of recruitments, but if a kid's on the edge and he comes to a whiteout game, there's a decent chance he ends up being a Penn State commit.
Correct.
But I think everybody understands that.
Yeah, and I think that you go back and look over the history of the whiteout, it has a profound effect on getting kids to commit to Penn State. Now, it's not a perfect ratio, and it's not always the best kids that are there are the ones that end up being the commits, but you get Nate Bruce, you get Liam Clifford. It's pretty darn good. I don't even know if we mentioned that fact yet, that Penn State picks up Bruce, the Harrisburg offensive lineman, and Clifford, the younger brother of Sean Clifford. And Penn State didn't recruit him just because he was Sean Clifford's younger brother. They have in the past not always recruited the little brothers of current players, which may or may not be the reason Troy Reader moved on to Delaware. But at any rate, they didn't recruit him just because of his last name. They recruited him because he's a really darn good, polished receiver who can play at the next level and do so pretty effectively. So already a good start on the recruiting front, and it probably will only get better from here. Theo Johnson was on hand. And I'll tell you what, Dustin, Cole Brevard is a big guy, and he is impressive looking, and he could be the next guy that falls in that PJ Mustipher sort of role of getting on the field sooner rather than later.
Well, I think Penn State recruiting at the defensive tackle position has gotten better and better and better over time. That's another good example of that. All right, let's hear from James Franklin on this game. And I go that route because after the game, this is one of his first talking points when he sits down. The recruits hovering above the news conference area and in the balcony, just a little message to them and a message to fans saying, we all did this together. So let's hear from him on the game itself. Going back to one of the most recent plays was the third down call. KJ Hamler getting the ball, coming across the formation as opposed to a straight up handoff. Here's what James Franklin said he wanted to accomplish going that route instead of a traditional handoff.
No, we just thought we needed to, instead of just hand the ball off, with them overloading the box right there, we needed to go, one of our read plays where Sean has an opportunity to keep it or KJ can get it on the perimeter. We didn't feel like we were going to be able to just line up with their overloaded box like that and just hand the ball off again, although we had some success doing that. Now, that's what makes this defense, not just in that situation, but throughout the entire game, so difficult. He's been one of the better defensive coordinators in the country for a long time. He used to drive me fits when he was the defense coordinator at Maryland. I was the offensive coordinator. We go way back. And, it really comes down to explosive plays against that defense. You got to hit explosive plays. He's going to overload you in the box and put his DBs on islands, and you got to win. And we missed some tonight, but we won enough of them. And I think that was really the difference in the game.
So we get away from the point some late in that James Franklin quote. I like the play call to KJ Hamler. It's not something that anybody really saw coming in that situation because it is such a key situation. That being said, the most important part of that play and execution of it was after KJ Hamler gets a yard and a half, he's running like a running back and not like a 165, 170 pound wide receiver. He obviously knew the magnitude of the situation, but really lowered his head, risked injury of himself to convert that, the third down because he knew what was on the line to do it. That right. was one of the most impressive things that KJ Hamler did because he could have very easily been stopped short. Nobody would have blamed him for being stopped short because he is a little guy. He found another gear. He lowered his head and he got the first down. And, you know, I thought, you know, for all the things that he did as a receiver, you know, in the return game, having that 100-yarder call back and all that, this was one of the most impressive things I think I saw from KJ Hamler was, you know, putting it all out there, putting it all on the line to get the first down.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that was one of the defining plays of the season so far. I mean, Noah Cain's at Iowa was definitely another one, but yeah, I don't know. I quite honestly, I don't know how he wasn't banged up after that run. I mean, it didn't look good when he was getting up. Then I saw him celebrating out on the field, so I figured everything was fine. But, you know, he was good to go. I thought he was hurt, you know, when he landed on his neck at Iowa, and he was fine after that, too. So he must be a pretty darn Teflon resilient guy. But, just a heck of a play. He's a heck of a player, and it's a shame because when all the postseason awards are given out, no one's going to be able to talk about that kickoff return for a touchdown, which was electrifying as a play as we've seen from a Penn State returner in some time. But it doesn't make a difference because, you know, it was called back for rightly called back for holding.
Yeah, a couple instances of holding there. One of the things that maybe has gone underappreciated to this point as you're looking for more from this Penn State offense – didn't go underappreciated with James Franklin, the ability of this offense in all the facets of it to protect the ball. Here's what he had to say about minimizing turnovers again in this game.
Yeah, I think the best thing we're doing right now offensively is protecting the football. You know, we're getting turnovers on defense, not a bunch of them, but we're getting enough of them. And we're protecting the football on offense, which I think is, you know, one of the most important things you can do is win the turnover battle. Obviously, the other one is the explosive play battle. We were able to win both of them tonight. That was big. You know, there's no doubt about it. That was huge. But, you know, he's really doing some nice things. But that's probably the thing that jumps out to me the most in my mind is how we're protecting the football at the running back position. How we're protecting the ball in terms of when we receive the ball as receivers, and then our quarterback in the pocket, and also with our protection. It's all those things.
So two interceptions so far this season for Sean Clifford. The Penn State's lost four fumbles in all. So six giveaways in seven games, I think, is right where you want to be. And I think for Clifford, that's the really mature part of his game. And I think we can nitpick it. Like, I think that coaches are sensing that they bring pressure in his face, that they can get him off his spot, get him on the move. And he's capable of making plays on the move anyway, but that's another layer that needs to improve. But they're not making game-changing mistakes either. So, you know, and I think in this game, if Penn State loses the turnover battle, they lose the game. You know, I think it came down to that.
I think that's the same thing in Iowa. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that can get you beat on the road at Michigan State. So, yeah, that is a very encouraging part of this game for Penn State this season so far is that, yeah, you nailed it. They're not turning the ball over, you know. Sean Clifford, I think part of that, too, is to the detriment of the offense. And what I mean by that is I think some of it is because Sean Clifford doesn't wait around to see if there's anywhere. Like Trace McSorley would wait and wait and wait and wait to see if there might be a 5% chance of completing a pass, and that's sometimes led to interception. Sean Clifford doesn't do that. He just runs. Now, the one thing I'll say is if he doesn't learn how to better protect the ball when he's sliding, and I mean, there's been a couple times now where you watch the play and there's a defensive lineman, you know, racing down on him, and the ball's kind of out away from his body, and you just feel like at some point that's going to turn into a fumble, but hasn't yet. They've been able to hold the ball, and you know, maybe we'll see more turnovers if the progression deal gets cleaned up a little bit, and that might not be the worst thing in the world. Of course, you don't ever want turnovers, but if it results in a more consistent flow on offense, you know, I think you take the good with the bad.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. We're hearing from James Franklin, post-game from Michigan, segment brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Two home games left, Indiana and Rutgers, for the 2019 season. If you're interested in going, there's no better way to do it than through GoPSURV.com. They take care of everything for you, the ultimate tailgating experience. Shuttle to and from Beaver Stadium. You tailgate for a full 48 hours, and really that's what it's all about for these games. So Indiana, November 16th, Rutgers, November 30th. Got some good deals for both of those contests if you can check those out at gopsurv.com. One more quote, then we'll take a quick break and come back with some more. The goal line stand late, you know, it's a game. You call it a goal line stand, and it is, but it's hard to really, really say that whenever a Michigan mistake ended the drive. But still, Penn State put up enough resistance on that drive to force a fourth down play, and they end up getting a stop. Here's what James Franklin had to say. Maybe a whole game's worth, a whole season's worth of strategy played into that.
Yeah, I think, you know, our ability to rotate guys in all year long, I think, paid dividends for us tonight in those areas. That stop was huge. You know, I thought they had a good plan. And they're talented. There's no doubt about it. But, yeah, I think, you know, that stop at the end was obviously critical. And guys made plays when they needed to. So, you know, I just proud of our coaches. You know, we made some adjustments. You know, they made some adjustments. It was a chess match all night long. But at the end of the day, our guys were able to step up and make critical plays at critical moments. And that end of the game there, obviously, on the goal line was a huge part of it.
So the rotation thing comes up again in this quote. And I tend to agree with James Franklin about the whole idea of rotating players, even though in some instances – you've got guys on the field for key situations or key drives or key moments in the game where they can be exposed for certain things. And, you know, I think this one was another case of that. But in general, rotating players to keep guys fresh for 60 minutes is good. Rotating players to get a lot of valuable repetitions for guys who, you know, it'll help them if they need to move into bigger roles later. Yep. I think in general, the approach is good. I guess they needed to be as fresh as they possibly could when they're on the receiving end of a 28 play differential in this game.
Right. That's exactly right, Dustin. And I think ultimately, you're able to handle 82, 85, 86, whatever ended up being plays, because you are able to put some of those guys in and give your starters a blow, which gives you the best possible chance late.
All right, we're not done hearing from James Franklin. We're going to talk some more about in-game adjustments and Noah Kane and some of the other things that came up in Penn State's win over Michigan.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSURV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.